Thank you, Francis and Betty. If you would, turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at three passages this morning. We're going to look at Leviticus 23, then we're going to look at Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to look in the book of Ephesians to finish up this morning. But Leviticus 23, the Feast of Pentecost. We've been looking at the Feast of Jehovah, the Feast of Israel, as they happen during the year 2017. So back in March, we looked at the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. May the 30th is Pentecost, but because next week is Memorial Weekend, we're going to have a patriotic service and recognize our veterans. And so this Sunday, we'll look at the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecoste. Penta means 50. In Greek. And so 50 days after Passover, they count 49 days, the next day is Pentecost. This is one of the three feasts that everybody was supposed to go to. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which starts the day after Passover, and the Feast of Weeks, because it's seven weeks, 49 days plus one, Pentecost, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." And so this is one of the three feasts everybody had to come to in Jerusalem. So if you look with me at Leviticus 23, verse 15, it says, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths, 7 weeks shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be made with fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven," which is always a symbol of sin. Remember the unleavened bread at Passover, the unleavened bread in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But at Passover, it's leavened bread. Okay? "They are the first fruits unto the Lord." This is the first of the wheat harvest. First fruits was the beginning of the barley harvest. The wheat comes in a month later, a month and a half later. Verse 18, "You shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest." The priest eats it after it's done. Verse 21, "Ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it shall be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." 50 days after Passover. Sometimes it falls in May. Sometimes it falls in June. It's the summer harvest. The Targum of Jonathan says it's the wheat harvest. Moses Maimonides, the great Jewish teacher in the Middle Ages, actually the greatest Jewish teacher of the Middle Ages, said that they would bake 2 huge loaves of bread with leaven. Of course, the leaven makes it rise. They were 7 hand breadths, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 hand breadths long and 4 hand breadths wide. And they do 2 of them. They would wave them before the Lord, 2 loaves. Now, what does it celebrate? Well, first of all, the Jews celebrated Moses being given the Ten Commandments by God on Mount Sinai. The symbol of this feast is the tablets of stone. So it's called the Feast of the Revelation because that's when God revealed his covenant to Israel. The Ten Commandments are a covenant. They're in a Hittite suzerainty treaty format. if you remember that. Israel was born as a nation by the gift of the law, and they read the book of Ruth, the five scrolls, Esther, Ruth, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. They read the book of Ruth at this feast every year. Ruth, of course, the Gentile, goes back to Israel with Naomi. She is the kinsman redeemer. Boaz redeems her. And so you have the Jew marrying the Gentile, and they're the grandparents of King David. So you have the Jew and the Gentile together to become one flesh, and from them comes King David, and from David comes the Davidic covenant with the Jews. It's observed for 2 days. Sometimes they weren't sure if they counted right, so they would do the feast for 2 days to make sure they got the right day. Okay? The Jews eat dairy food today in blintzes, and Reformed Jews, those are the liberal Jews. There are three kinds of Jews in America today. They're the Orthodox, they're the conservative Jews, and they're the Reformed Jews. They're the ones that call their synagogues temples. The Reformed Jews, this is when they confirm their teenagers. They have the bar mitzvahs and the bat mitzvahs on the Feast of Pentecost. So, there are two loaves baked with yeast. We've always looked at yeast as the symbol of sin. It's not presented at the altar because there's yeast in it, leaven in it, but it's way before the altar of the burnt offering. And two lambs are offered. Two loaves of bread, two lambs. Why? Well, to answer that, you have to go to Acts chapter 2. Because Acts chapter 2 is the birthday of the church. It is the day the church was born out of two groups, Jews and Gentiles. The birthday of the church, Acts chapter 2. The church couldn't exist in the Old Testament because they were under the law, not under grace. The church couldn't exist in the Gospels because Jesus hadn't died for the church yet. The church couldn't exist at the cross because Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet to be the head of the church. So this is the birthday of the church, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Isn't it interesting that God chooses the feast when the most people would be there? Okay, they were required to be there. Isn't it interesting that at Pentecost, it weren't just Jews, but it was Gentile proselytes, Gentiles who had come to become members of the Jewish faith, the proselytes. So it's Jews and Gentiles present at the temple. The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down. It's the birthday of the church. As God gave the law, and that was the birthday of Israel, so God gives the Holy Spirit, and that's the birthday of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Didn't say it was a wind, said it sounded like a wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And there's a list here. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wondrous works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? Wow. So basically what you have here is you have a sight to see, fire. You have a sound to hear, rushing wind. And you have a sign to experience. They spoke in other languages. Now, if you wanted two outlines of this chapter, let me give them to you. verses 1 through 13, the power of Pentecost, verses 14 through 36, the preaching of Pentecost, because Peter gets up and explains this. And now verses 37 through 47, the results of Pentecost, so many people were saved on that day, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Or, this is the way I would outline it, verses 1 through 13 are the gift of the Spirit. Verses 14 through 36, Peter explains this gift. Verses 37 through 41, the hearers respond. And verses 42 through 47, the growth of the early church. Daily and from house to house, they ceased not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So, Jesus ascended 40 days after he rose from the dead, or he ascended 43 days after Passover. 1 week later, the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus had to ascend to the right hand of God. He said, I go unto the Father, but I will send you another Comforter, and he shall be in you. In the Old Testament, up to this time, the Holy Spirit came upon different people and left them. Remember Psalm 51, David prayed, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God would anoint someone with his Spirit, God could take the Spirit off. And very few people had the Holy Spirit. But at the birthday of the church, the Holy Spirit comes down and fills every believer. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside them. They were gathered from all over the Roman Empire, this list of areas, countries, are regions with large Jewish populations, and if you plot them out on a map, they go in a circle. It's a list of countries around Jerusalem that show up on the day of Pentecost. Now, what's going on here? Jesus told them that this was going to happen. Remember, Leviticus 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. That's Luke 24:49. Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. And so, what's the immediate effect? First of all, the believers were filled with the Spirit. Second, they were given power. They had the message. They knew that Jesus was alive. They knew he rose from the dead. They knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was the only way to heaven, but they didn't have the power to get the message out until Pentecost. They were in the upper room. Salvation is preached and souls are saved. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, talked about this. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist. But he cometh after me, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that prophecy of John the Baptist was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Until now, the Holy Spirit was with the disciples. Now the Holy Spirit is in the disciples. Jesus said, John 14, in that day, I will be in my Father, and he will be in me, and I will be in you. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:37, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the Jews and Gentiles coming together. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink unto one Spirit. So, the loaves with the leaven in them couldn't symbolize Jesus because Jesus was without sin. Hebrews 7:26, Jesus is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, eternal in the heavens. It could not symbolize the Holy Spirit of God because he is the Holy Spirit, he is without sin. It has to be symbolic of people because we are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pentecost has the two loaves with leaven. The Jews and the Gentiles come together. The two loaves, the Jews, the Gentiles. The loaves are not burned. They are there to feed the priest. And so the status of Gentiles and the church, Ephesians chapter 2. So this is the third place we're going this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, you're familiar with the first part of that chapter. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that the Lord hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. But I want to start with verse 11. The Jews and the Gentiles put together into one church. What was the status of the Gentiles? That's what the rest of chapter 2 is about. And Paul is writing to Gentiles in Ephesus, which is now modern-day Turkey. Ephesians 2:11, wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were, and these are all the characteristics of them, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Man, you are in bad shape. You were Gentiles. But look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one. Who's the both? Jews and Gentiles. He has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of two, Jews and Gentiles, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, Jews and Gentiles, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that are nigh, the Jews. For through him we both have access. Both who? Jews and Gentiles. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Two people become one church. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all, because of Pentecost. Passover is a picture of the death of Jesus. First fruits is a picture of the resurrection of Jesus. He is the first fruits of them that sleep. But the rest of us are the other fruits of the resurrection. And then Pentecost is the birth of the church. The disciples knew the facts of Jesus, but they didn't have the power to share the facts of Jesus until Pentecost. So God picked the people, he picked the place, he picked the crowd. Everybody was there. And Peter preached, and people responded to the gospel. Wow. Now, what's the mission of the church? To proclaim the gospel. What's the message of the church? Jesus, the cross. Charles Spurgeon said one time, said, Charles, how do you preach? He said, I don't care where I start in the Bible. I start and then I make a beeline to the cross. Because it's all about Jesus. And Jesus saves. And what about the members? Not only are we born again through the Spirit, but we are sealed with the Spirit. The Spirit lives inside us. There was a man that said one time, yeah, I've been to church twice. I was at church the first time, and they sprinkled me with water. And the second time I went to church, they sprinkled me with rice. And then someone looked at him and said, yeah, and the third time you go, they're going to sprinkle you with dirt. That's about it for a lot of people, you know. You know, they're hatched, matched, and dispatched in the church. So what can you say? But it's sad that some people have no contact with Jesus, and some people have no personal relationship with Jesus. They found a skeleton a couple years ago in the Mojave Desert. It was a woman. She had died. I mean, the skeleton was there on the floor of the desert in the heat. And she had written a note on a scrap of paper just before she died. And the note said, "I'm exhausted. I'm out of water. I don't think I can go any further." So she laid down and died. And a half a mile away was a spring with more water than she could drink. But she didn't go far enough. She gave up. She didn't go far enough. And there are people that they have problems in their life and they want to do something about their problems, but they don't go far enough and give them to Jesus. They know that there's a God, they acknowledge there's a God, but they don't go far enough and they don't give their hearts to the Son of God. There are people that realize they're sinners and they're separated from God, but they don't want to give way. They don't want to give up what they're doing. They don't want to give up their sins, and they don't go far enough and get their sins forgiven and get peace from God. They don't go far enough. And so this morning, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you, you need to go the rest of the way. Because what you do with Jesus in this life will determine where you are a billion years from now, really and truly. And if you're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit lives in us, but that doesn't mean that he's controlling us. It doesn't mean we've given him lordship of our life. If you've not given the Holy Spirit control of your life, you need to do that. There's a poem in our hymn book. These are all poems. Number 240, O holy dove of God descending, you are the love that knows no ending. All of our shattered dreams you're mending. Spirit, now live in me. Holy wind of God now blowing, you are the seed that God is sowing. You are the life that starts us growing. Spirit, now live in me. Holy flame of God now burning, you are the power of Christ returning. You are the answer to our yearning. Holy Spirit, now live in me. What a great poem. And yet that's what God wants to do. God not only wants to live inside us by us being born again, but God wants to live his life through us. Because we can't live the Christian life. Only Jesus can live the Christian life. But he said that in that day, I shall be in my Father, and he shall be in me, and I shall be in you. Jesus lives his life through us. It is God's life in our life, living through our life, that glorifies God in heaven. So you need to be born again, or you need to be Spirit-filled. Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and the Jews will celebrate that on May the 30th, and then when September comes, we'll look at the last three feasts, because those feasts are pictures of the second coming of Jesus. The first four feasts are pictures of the first coming of Jesus. The last three feasts are the picture of the second coming of Jesus. So when we get to September, you know where we're going. Oh. But this morning, right now, in your life, what do you need to do? What is God leading you to do this morning?